T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get it open, man.
Delicious. Got my lime seltzer, 100% natural, calorie-free seltzer.
Oh, I got a tall boy Miller Lite. So,
well, further confirmation that you're cooler than me. Not that we needed any more of that, but there it was. So a lot to get to here in the 1 o'clock hour. Joe Patrick, Smoking Joe, going to join us 20 minutes from right now.
Smoking Joe.
We're looking forward to a Major League Baseball finance proposal, revenue proposal from the owners today, and we'll see what the union thinks about it. Maybe we can get some baseball before too long. We'll see. Hockey's coming back. We know that.
Yeah, man. I mean, and going back to what we were talking about, dude, we got our listeners, some of them are going straight to hell, man, with gasoline draws with me and you both. Damn, Kevin Sanders, he's so crazy. Talking about Tiger cheating on his wife with a waitress at Waffle House.
Yeah.
I've never seen a cute girl at Waffle House. Like, really? So Tiger was just out there just with anybody.
Well, I mean, yeah, at the time, like, go back and read some of the details of the affairs. Like
they detailed it?
Oh yeah. I mean, look, I'm a Tiger fanatic. I was reading everything that was coming out at that time.
Yeah.
Like, one of it was, like, his neighbor's daughter. Like, obviously, she was, she was of age and all that stuff. But, like, he was in his office at his house with his family in the house. Now, his house is so big, Tiger... he's over in the West Wing, and they're over in the other part of the house. But, like, he had his neighbor's daughter over there in his office. Like, he was doing all kinds of dirt in all kinds of ways, and that's why it was a scandal.
Yeah. Didn't he go to, like therapy or something?
Yeah, he went to sex therapy. He was addicted to sex.
I'm just curious. How does that work?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. Because the thing about it, and I think it's a great question that you bring up, we can really dive into it. Yeah. When you're an addict, right, and you go to like Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that, the goal is to no longer partake in the alcohol.
Right,
like
it's
one day at a time to make sure that you're not. If you're a sex addict and you go to Sex Anonymous or whatever it is, Sexaholics Anonymous.
So you stop wanting to do it?
You don't get to do it anymore? Like, because you can't have a beer with dinner when you're an alcoholic.
That's what I'm saying.
It's cold turkey.
Dude, that is a great question, because is it a relapse if you do it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think we'd have to ask Tiger. I'm not going to ask him.
We need to do some research on that. Because
we also had people suggest, because we threw out the idea of the villains bracket. If you wanted to have the good guys versus bad guys, Patrick Reed obviously being the ultimate villain on the PGA Tour. And a great suggestion by some of our folks on Twitter.
Yes.
I don't know how realistic it is, but if they could do it, people would watch. Patrick Reed and O.J. Simpson.
Yes. That is the number one. We got Patrick Reed, A-Rod. We got Patrick Ewing. And who else? Mike Tyson. Michael Thomas, because he can't stand a dude. That's Big Shot Bob. But O.J. and damn Patrick Reed.
You can't really do that. Can you, would a network agree to a tournament with – he's a free man.
You remember when they were doing the top 100 at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought O.J. was there. I was like, how the hell is O.J. not going to be there? Being there would be the most O.J. thing ever. He wasn't there, of course. But, O.J.
We know he likes to play.
Yeah, he loves golf. Wow. I don't know. No. I don't want O.J. around me. I've been around the OJ because you know how you were all binge watching everything again, and I went and told you I binge watched the OJ 30 for 30. I met that OJ, that Miami OJ. OJ is wild as hell.
Because you played in Miami during the Miami OJ years. What do you mean? In what way?
Dude, first of all, OJ, you want to talk about a head on his shoulders.
He's got a large head.
Yeah, OJ's very big-headed. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I met him because we used to always go to Joe's Stone Crab. And you know that you always hear Mike Bell and Conte. They talk about how they ordered him from there. Best, just unbelievable. And, you know, Dennis was the maitre d'. And, I mean, it just awesome. And go in, and like, hey, you want to meet OJ? I'm like, OJ who? I'm like, Simpson. I'm like, why the hell I want to meet OJ Simpson? You go back there, OJ in the back table, dog. It's about 20 folks at a table, man. He the only brother there. I was like, OJ ain't learned his lesson yet. Yeah, OJ better get it. Yeah. Good. So then, next time I met OJ was at Diamonds, right? OJ is on stage just tripping. You remember that music video that he made?
Yes, yeah. I do.
It's a real thing.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other times you met OJ? Like this is.
But see, the only time I met OJ, I met him at the restaurant, and I met him at a strip club twice. And
the only other place would be the golf course.
Dude, he looks so awkward in the strip club. Just really? Awkward. Yeah, just awkward. Just
interesting. Awkward. Yeah. Well, those are the times that Randy McMichael met OJ.
I met Miami OJ.
Yeah. And if you watch the documentary, Miami OJ, like you said, was pretty wild. All right, Joe Patrick, not as wild as Miami OJ, but wild in his own right. Going to join us in 15 minutes from right now to talk some baseball. Let's get to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Go in!
Yeah!
Oh my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Oh. Check. Take a second.
Are you kidding me? Wow!
Hey!
Check.
Hey, man!
Check.
I got. That's
Check.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck.
Real.
Take a look at that medicine.
Damn! Tom Brady holes out from the fairway on the seventh hole after getting off to an awful start in the match on Sunday. Tells Chuck to take a suck of that, which is a real dad way to talk trash. But nonetheless, a hell of a shot from Tom Brady. And it wasn't lucky either. Like, it wasn't like he finned
it
and hit the stick and went
in. Dude, that was a hell of a shot.
He spun that damn thing back, and it went right in the hole. That was a great shot from Tom Brady. And just look,
Andy, do you know how to spin the ball like that?
I mean, yeah, you can put backspin on a shot with a wedge or something like that. It's not really like knowing how to do it. It's just kind of like if you hit a pitching wedge or sand, you know, a shorter iron, hit it high, it'll hit the green and spin back a little bit sometimes.
Okay,
I'm not good enough to be like, all right, I want to hit it 10 yards past the hole and spin it all the way back. I can't do that. But occasionally I'll hit it right and it'll spin back.
Okay.
Playing some golf this afternoon, by the way. If I spin one back, I'll let you know.
Hold on. You playing at Bunkmont?
No, I'm actually playing at Bunkmont is a real country club, but yes. I'm playing at a country club that has more than just one hole.
Ashley said it's okay.
She gave me the thumbs up. I had to.
There
was a lot of politicking going on this weekend.
My man.
There's a lot of things that I had to do, and a lot of things that I have to do
to
make this happen.
All husbands, we all know this, dude. You got to build up that credit, dude. You got to build up the credit. Now, I know you enjoy spending time with your wife, but you probably did something that you didn't want to do because you knew that it would make her feel good.
I didn't
you made
do
her feel good,
that I
Bunk.
Didn't want to do, but I did a lot of stuff. Like, I really, really got a lot of work in this weekend.
Man, please. You know how to. You don't waste wife credit, man.
No. She said go, so I'm going.
My dude.
I'll let you know how it goes. All right, here's Tiger Woods after the match on Sunday.
These guys, Tom and Peyton, we take our hats off to them for coming out. This is our arena. This is what we do for money. We couldn't imagine going out on the field and do what they do. See, you laugh.
No, come join us for a great time.
No, thank you.
See you in one-on-one coverage.
I've been a few times out there today on the front nine when I couldn't find the ball, but anyway.
Yeah, a lot on seven.
Yeah, I know.
So, Tiger and Peyton Manning won. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady lost, which was fun. Tom Brady played bad at the beginning, which was fun to watch as well. Did you, just in watching these guys play, which one of those guys would you most want to play with?
Probably out of all of them?
Yeah.
Probably Peyton.
Yeah, me too.
Probably Peyton.
Probably. Plays fast.
Yeah, Tiger. Yeah, probably Peyton because, like, Phil, I was getting tired of Phil talking.
Me too.
Like, I was like, damn, Phil, as great as he is, I mean, you were like, okay, Phil. And Tom, you know, Tom just wanted to throw that racket. I mean, throw that club, dude. And I was so waiting on it. I was so waiting on Tom to break a club. Just waiting on it.
It would have been
Tiger,
incredible.
You know, I mean, of course, I play with Tiger because he's damn Tiger Woods. Yes, I would love to play golf with Tiger Woods. But, like, if I'm just like, if he was like, went Tiger Woods and the story I told the other day and he just come up in a random and wanted to jump in our foursome, I wouldn't let Tiger come with me. I'm like, no, go elsewhere, man.
This probably won't surprise you a great deal, but I'm the complete opposite when it comes to playing. I love playing with people that I don't know. Like, you get there, you join a threesome as a single, you got two people and two people join you. I love it. You can, 18 holes of golf is a great way to get to know somebody. You can make friends with people. You can make connections. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. I love it. I really enjoy meeting people on the golf course.
I mean, I didn't say that like, no. Dude, 18 holes, the way it's a long time to be with somebody you don't know. All right, I'm just sorry. It's just a long time.
Well, you get to know him, Randy.
I don't want to get to know you, man. I want to play golf. I want to drink some beer. And I want to smoke some cigars. I ain't in no friendly mood. I ain't no friendly mood, man. I don't know you. Now, when I go to charity events and everything in that setting, that's great. But just for me to be out there just chilling and then all of a sudden you pull up, hey, guys, they just partnered me with you. Who the hell are you?
I love that guy. He's so excited to be playing with you. And the worst, though, is there's two bad situations. If the guy is so terrible, it slows the round down to the point where it's uncomfortable. Or if the guy is a weirdo. And I've had that happen before. I played with a guy one time who was a weirdo. He got hammered. He was super intense and, like, just, like, looked at me a lot. It was like I would catch him, like, looking at me. And it's like, God, dude, stop freaking looking at me. And then at the end of the round, he was like, that was really fun, man. We should play again. Let me get your number. And so I gave him a fake number. And then I saw him at the course again, which was really awkward.
You gave the dude a fake number?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, I did.
Damn, Andy.
Gave him a fake number. And then
You know the worst part about giving somebody a fake number? And nowadays, like back when you were young, when y'all was like, used to be competing for numbers, you would write them down. The girls would write them down. Mm-hmm. You know, the most embarrassing thing now is that usually when you get people's numbers, you'll type their number in and then you'll call it.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so bad at that because I will give you the wrong damn number. And like, okay, I'm going to call you right now.
Yeah.
Damn it. Oh, and did I say 8-4? I meant 4-8.
You could pull off, if you wanted to, you could pull off and say, oh, that I gave you my personal phone. This is my work phone.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, my personal phone's in the car. You could pull that off. You seem like a guy who could have two phones.
What you trying to say, man?
Like you got, you know, like business.
I'm two-phone Randy?
Yeah, two-phone Randy. You could be two-phone Randy. Like two-phone guy is like rich guy. You got,
two-phone guy has been gone.
Two-phone guy also gets in trouble with his wife sometimes too.
Exactly.
I know you're not being that two phone Randy.
Oh no, dude. The two phone guy almost got me shanked. So
we don't need that. Let's hear what Rick Bucher had to say about the NBA coming back.
The reality is it hasn't been said, it's been decided. We're going to have games. It's just a matter of when we're going to have games and what it's going to look like. I would expect by the first week of June we are going to get an official announcement, maybe even the 1st of June.
So that's Rick Bucher, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports, covered the NBA for years and years, says that we could have an announcement by the 1st of June, which is Monday. Yeah. that's less than a week away from right now. So hopefully that happens. Sign me up. Saying that the NBA has already made the decision. They're going to play. They're just hammering out the details behind the scene right now. And I love it. That's great. I mean, whatever they want to do, as long as everybody's cool with it. The problem is, it sounds like whatever scenario has been agreed upon or is being floated out there, not everybody's on board. It sounds like they're doing something where either they're jumping straight to the playoffs or where there's not going to be enough regular season games for teams that are outside the playoffs to get into the playoffs, because he had Damian Lillard make the statement earlier today or in an interview over the weekend that if the playoffs aren't a possibility and we're playing regular season games, I'm not playing. I'm sitting them out. So it sounds like they're going to do it, but maybe not everybody's cool with exactly how it's going down.
Yeah, I just think they got to find out what's the structure going to be as far as if they're going to play any games, because you know, we were talking earlier, we're like, okay, are they going to go just straight to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? But don't teams need some kind of tune-up before the playoffs?
Yes.
So do you know what I'm saying? So do you play out the last four or five games of the regular season. I don't know, if you're going to go straight to a playoff format, you might want to get a player some time to warm up against some other competition. So do you have scrimmages between teams? Is your family going to be able to come there? How long are we going to be there? I mean, there's so many different things when you're talking about moving a whole league, Andy. Not just two or three teams, the whole damn league going down there. You know, because I think they would prefer Florida over Vegas. So it's like the whole damn team, everybody's just going down there. And so once everybody gets there, I'm assuming that they're going to isolate everybody for 2 weeks. Is that what they're going to do? I don't know. I'm so curious how they're going to do this because of the simple fact is that they're moving everybody down.
Yeah, and we could get some insight into what the NBA's plan is going to look like. Certainly what a plan is going to look like when Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, meets with the media this afternoon. Apparently he's planning to meet with the media at 4:30 to unveil the 24-team return to play format. And again, what they do and what the NBA does and what baseball does aren't going to be the same, but some of the protocols that they'll take will be the same. And if the NHL has a plan in place and they're ready to go, maybe that gives us an idea that some of these other leagues will be ready to go as well.
I think these leagues are ready to go, man. I mean, outside of baseball, I think that these leagues are ready to roll, man.
What's it going to take for baseball to be ready? We know that
how's
that going to go? We'll talk to Joe Patrick about that coming up next. Baseball reportedly going to unveil or present their financial situation to the players this week. We'll find out what Joe Patrick thinks about it. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com app. Time to beg. Wendy says it's time to beg. We don't have any AMA questions for 20 minutes from right now. So please send them. Diamond Text Line, Twitter. Please?
How Andy had to talk to his wife today so he can go play golf. Please, baby. How you gonna play golf sober?
Probably well.
Oh, okay.
Probably better than I would have otherwise. You know, you're not gonna like this, but I prefer to not drink when I play.
Really?
Yeah, I prefer not to. I like to have some drinks after the round, and I'll drink during the round. It depends on the situation, but like, if I'm playing by myself and it's a course that I am interested in and want to play, like, I play better if I'm not drinking and I want to see how good I can do.
Okay. Well, good for you, homie.
Thank you. That was not the response that I was expecting, but I appreciate the support.
You thought I was going to say, yeah, me too?
No, that's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to have a little bit more of a negative reaction to that.
No, dude. I respect the fact that you want to be great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You're a very competitive guy, Andy. You are. You really are. You're always in compete mode. And if you want to be sober on a golf course, cool.
Thank you. Always compete. You're welcome. Let's bring in, we need your questions again. AMA, any question, any topic. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line on Twitter as well. At TBM929, at RandyMac81, at Brian_Gebhardt. What's going on over there?
I just had maybe a couple of hot poke rinds, them skins. Got my eyes and nose running.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Careful with the hot ones.
Got me on fire over here, Andy. I'm on fire, Cletus.
Let's talk to Joe, probably.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds. To the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, talks some baseball, talks some MLS soccer as well. And Joe, I don't know if you heard earlier, but I did casually compare you to O.J. Simpson. I apologize.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, my bad. My bad, man. My bad. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Well, we'll move past it very quickly here. I got to I do want to mention there was one day I was doing updates in the studio, and I look over at Randy, and he's got a tear coming down his eye while I'm reading his phone, and I immediately, my mind went to, like, the worst possible situation. I was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong, Randy? And it turned out he had pork rind dust in his eye.
Yeah.
It's always a good excuse. If you keep them around enough, you can always use that excuse.
I always got some skins now everywhere. And I did. I remember that day because I kind of peeked up and I saw Joe looking at me like he was concerned, and I just happened to have just some some skin dust in my face.
So Joe, we hear that that the owners are going to present the Players Association with their financial proposal at some point this week. Sounds like it could be as early as today. Do you think that that's going to speed this process up and we're going to get a resolution to baseball soon? Or is this just going to be more fodder for argument?
I certainly hope that it's going to speed things up. And I'm actually encouraged by the fact that it's happening today and not some other time this week. I think last time we had heard, I heard a Jeff Passan report, I think that was given on Friday, saying that he was expecting an offer to be made sometime this week. And I just think that the earlier in the week, the better, you know, because it gives you some more time. And I do think that it's important exactly what they're offering or what we've heard in reports as to them changing their mind, kind of backing off that 50-50 revenue split, which is good. It means that it signals that they're willing to back off and make a different proposal that has a better chance of success. Because as we heard from Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, that was kind of a non-starter for the players. So it's good to see that the owners are at least moving a little bit in the direction of getting a deal done. I still don't think it's going to be something where the players are ecstatic about it. You know, I still would expect there to be a discrepancy there between the two sides, but I think that it's encouraging that you're seeing a little bit of progress happening. And hopefully the players can move a little bit, you know, inch closer to where the owners are as well. It's just a very interesting situation between these two sides because of, you know, I hear a lot about, you know, there's the millionaires versus billionaires and the billionaires should have the money to pay. We've all heard that a million times. But while these billionaires are worth a whole lot of money, they don't necessarily have the cash on hand to pay out the salaries immediately. And that's why I think the deferred payments is a pretty rational solution here, because it allows the owners to actually kind of pay their debts when they're able to. Rob Manfred went on CNN like about a week and a half ago and said that the timing of this situation couldn't have really been at a worse time financially for some of the owners in the league, because it was right before they were about to get that big cash influx that is opening day. That is right. All these people coming to stadiums and paying concessions and getting those tickets and getting the ticket revenue. That all, you know, kind of in the life cycle of a year of an owner, they're probably at their lowest level of cash on hand right before they get to that opening day. So it couldn't have happened at a worse time. And hopefully they can sort of come to an agreement where the players can get their money, but just at a time where it makes most sense but it's most feasible for the owners to be able to do so.
Joe, when you were talking about the 50-50 split, I think that as soon as we found out about that, we knew the players probably would reject that. But I mean, you're talking about deferred payments. I mean, who's to say when those deferred payments will be paid? Because if there's no fans, there's going to be a big hit as far as, you know, revenue for these owners. So who's to say when this deferred payment will be paid out?
Oh, totally. And I think that's why, you know, I think that, again, we don't know all the details of the situation yet, but I think that that's something the players will definitely be very concerned about in these negotiations. They're going to be wanting guarantees that they're going to be able to, you know, be on the receiving end of the deal that they make whenever it happens. And that's something that they'll have to work out. But I think that, you know, just both sides need to kind of be understanding of the situations that both are in. And I think that based on the owners coming off of this revenue split, I think it just gives us that sense that they're willing to come off. And I think a lot of this is just the natural cycle of the way a negotiation works. You know, you don't make your first offer as like the take it or leave it deal. You know, you kind of, the first offer you make should theoretically be the one you hope is taken, you know, it's kind of your worst offer. And over time you kind of, you inch toward each other and come to a deal. It is interesting that in this situation, it does seem to be the owners that are the ones who are making the proposal to the players. And I think that gives the players a little bit of an advantage in the negotiations, because they kind of get to see the information that's getting passed to them before they make a decision or a counter proposal. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely going to be issues that arise with, I think, any proposal that the owners send over. And again, I don't expect the players to be ecstatic about whatever is sent to them today or tomorrow, whenever the proposal is sent. I do think there will continue to be some back and forth that goes on between these sides. But I just think that this is an encouraging sign that we are on the cusp of getting something done in the next few weeks here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I understand how the process goes, especially when they're talking about CBA negotiations. You send out a proposal that's great for you and maybe bad for the other side, and you know they're not going to take it, and then you haggle your way towards the middle. The problem is that takes months sometimes when they're doing a collective bargaining agreement. And we also know that there's already a little bit of baked-in animosity over the way that things have been going in free agency and arbitration manipulation with teams and players and stuff like that. So there's already a little bit of frustration between these two leading into these negotiations. Like, they don't have time to haggle, you know?
Right.
They don't have months to get this thing ironed out. I hope that they can speed the process up and do it this week or next week. But I mean, normally these things take a really long time. And I guess that's where my concern is. If they're going about it like normal, I don't know that they have enough time to do that.
Right. I totally agree. It is so interesting that this all has to happen so quickly. And, you know, owners are getting together on Zoom calls and then sending out a proposal later in the day is at least if what we've heard about what's happening today is to be believed, it's pretty amazing that it's all just happening with the speed that it is. And I think that also something that's just playing a huge dynamic into these negotiations is the fact that the current CBA that's in place is scheduled to end after next season. And I don't think that you can actually have these negotiations taking place without looking at having an eye on the end of that CBA happening and that influencing the negotiations that are currently happening. So there's so many dynamics in the situation that are honestly making it the most unique, like, negotiating I've ever seen in my lifetime between, you know, when it comes to labor and how to divide, you know, who's getting the revenues. But it's all just very fascinating to see. But again, there's so much to lose in this situation for both sides. I just have to think that something is going to get done. We're seeing progress, not just in baseball, but it's also encouraging to me to see, you know, these other sports leagues. I think that we're seeing similar progress being made. And I think that athletes and owners are kind of coming to the realization that no, this is not the situation that anybody wants to be in. It's not the ideal thing, but everybody is just going to, you know, take a little bit of hurting during this time, like kind of the rest of the country is. And hopefully we can look towards better things in the near future.
Joe P, when you look at this season being played, and me and Andy, we talked about it last week and the week before that when the proposal and all those things, and right now me and him are both, I know me especially, it's like, if this doesn't work, it's all going to be because of money. And that would be the worst look ever for baseball. And, I mean, no, they wouldn't wipe baseball off the face of the earth, but it would pretty much just dismantle any kind of momentum they had the last few years.
Yeah, totally, totally. You know, I Bob Nightingale was on with Willie P yesterday, and he was saying that it would be a worse situation than what happened in '94 if these two sides were not to come together. And I think '94 was about the extent of my memory, but I think it would be about as bad of a situation that you could I've ever experienced between players and owners in any sport. It would just be devastating for both sides for sure. So. And I think that's why we're going to see something happen. But it's going to be ugly in the meantime. It's always been that way, and it will continue to be that way until a deal is struck.
Joe, we appreciate it. Great stuff, as always.
Joe Peasy. I mean,
hopefully one of these days, one of these weeks, we'll have an agreement to actually discuss and not sort of guess about what things they're not going to agree on. But that's where we are right now with baseball. And, look, I'm with Bob Nightingale. I think it is worse than 94 if they don't play this summer, especially if all the other leagues find a way to play. If baseball's the only one that doesn't play, it's disgraceful that they can't figure it out. Joe, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate it, Jay.
Sounds good, guys.
All right. That means it's time for the AMA. Any question, any topic, we still need them. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929, at Wendy Radio, at Brian_Gebhardt, at RandyMac81. Please send them to us so we can do an AMA coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The Ask Me Anything segment to wrap up the show every single day. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter. All four of us are here as well. Myself, Randy, Wendy, and Brian to answer your questions. I got a couple over here we'll start with, and then we'll throw it over to Wendy. Bigger deal, Maybe we'll start with Randy on this one. Having great players or having a great coach?
I'm going to say great players.
I think so, too.
I'm going to say great players.
I think so, too. Like, to win a championship, you can have the best coach in the world, but if you got average guys, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I think you can win a championship with an average coach if you have great players. We've seen it. Like, I mean, the Cavs won a championship because LeBron was great. Nothing against Tyronn Lue, but he's not like the greatest coach in the history of the NBA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think you can do it, but you have to have the players to. There aren't very many examples, really any, that you can think of. And go find a team that doesn't have unbelievable players that won championships.
Yeah.
That's why I don't understand the criticism of Phil Jackson. Like, yeah, Phil Jackson had Mike and Pippen and Shaq and Kobe, but everybody that wins championships has guys like that. Like, that's how you win championships. I guess the Pistons in 04, Larry Brown maybe is the example. He's a really great
coach. This question depends on the sport a lot, though, too, right? Like, for NFL, I'm going to go coach.
I guess I'm thinking of basketball. I don't know why I'm only thinking about basketball.
Yeah, for like, I would go in the NFL, I would pick the coach, but in the NBA, I'm picking the player.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But then you also, I mean, so who's a great coach that's won with not great players in the NFL?
I don't know.
Is there?
I mean,
one?
That's what I said. I just think you got to have good players.
You probably have to have both to a certain extent.
Yeah. You can't have. I mean, it's
we'll
hard
see
to,
about the talk to me after the Patriots season this year, because Bill Belichick is a great coach. There's no question about that. It doesn't seem like he has a great roster, but if they win a ton this year, and shoot, if they win a Super Bowl, which I don't think they will, but if they do with this roster, then I'll change my answer and say great coach. Would you rather be tall and clumsy or short and athletic?
Tall.
But you're clumsy. You're kind of just a big old goofball. You can't do nothing.
Yeah, I know. But short people can't, you know.
Can't what?
It's hard to get a girl. How short is short?
That's a great question. How many inches are you willing to give up to maintain your athleticism?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I'm asking you. How many inches? Okay, you obviously great athlete. Played in the NFL for 11 years.
Yes, yes.
You can keep that athleticism.
Okay.
But you got to be 5'10".
Hell no.
No. You got to be 6 foot.
No, I like being where I'm at. All right, because the ratio of short women to tall women that I like my wife is way shorter than me. I like it like that. I don't want to be too close to her where I got to see eye to eye. I like when she hugs me and I'm standing straight and her head just touches my chest.
Yeah,
I ain't got to squat. She ain't got to get on her tippy toes or nothing.
I'll take tall and clumsy too, because what's short and clumsy, which is basically what I am.
You're not clumsy.
No, I'm not that short either, but I'll take tall and clumsy. Andy, do you know what chitlins are? And either you or Randy eat them. I do know what chitlins are. Thank you very much. I don't appreciate the insinuation. I have eaten them.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. And I don't
know. Grandma used to make them,
right? Yeah, huh? Grandma used to make them. Actually, she didn't make them. It was another relative on my stepdad's side of the family who would make them sometimes at family gatherings. I liked them until I found out what they were.
Oh, dude, I messed me some chitlins. I jacked me some chitlins up, bro.
When's the last time you ate chitlins?
Thanksgiving, but she makes me make them outside.
Because they smell bad.
Yeah, I got to make them outside. I make them outside, but yeah, man. But the only people that eat chitlins really are me, Mama, and my sister Kendra. And Pam, Auntie Pam eat them every now and then. But yeah, we don't want to eat it.
All right, you guys got any good ones over there?
Do you call it a shopping cart or a buggy?
Both.
Shopping cart.
I call it shopping cart.
Yeah, shopping cart.
I never say, can I have a buggy?
I say buggy.
You do?
Yeah, I say buggy. When I tell the kids to get one, I'll say shopping cart. But if it's me, I'm like, I need a buggy.
What's the difference?
I don't know, Andy. It's just, I guess it's on the way I feel at a point in time.
Okay. Now, does anyone actually say shopping cart, or you just say cart, right?
I just say cart.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get the cart. I don't say shopping cart. I'm going to get the cart. I like to push the cart when we're in the store. Like, if we go to the store
guy?
As a couple.
I don't know
if I'm that guy, but
you're
I like
that guy.
Am I?
Got
I
a
like
big,
it.
Big cart Andy guy.
No, I don't need to be big cart guy. I just like, I enjoy pushing the cart in the store.
I'm a Sandy. I feel like I'm a better cart driver than most, so I know how to navigate it, and I know how to get in front of somebody when I need something before them. So yeah. I'm very aggressive with the cart.
You know, people are really bad at driving carts at Home Depot. There's a lot of like cart aisle blockage going on at Home Depot these days, especially in these uncertain times. We can't be blocking carts or blocking aisles up because we're not supposed to be getting that close to each other. So
we need better cart etiquette.
Yeah, cart etiquette at Home Depot is unbelievable. People only need to cart, step their cart etiquette game up.
Only cart etiquette I know is you better not hit the back of mama's leg.
Oh, yeah, dude. The back of the ankles or even the side of it, the ankle bone, that's even worse.
You better not hit the back of mama's leg.
Yeah, then you get in trouble.
This one's for Randy. If Kirby offered you a job on the staff for the dogs, would you leave the show?
No.
Tight ends coach?
No, I'm good. I told you, I can't deal with coaching. I can't deal with nobody's children.
Should the real Randy McMichael answer have been, how much are they paying?
Yeah. Huh? Get the loot,
what's
Randy,
the loot looking like?
I mean, what's the loot looking like? If y'all gonna put like, if they're going to put some zeros in a couple of extra zeros, y'all be on your own.
We work at 90 to no offense, but like I feel like the Georgia football program's paying a little bit better than.
Well, no, I'm just saying, dude. That's a lot of work, man. I mean, I'm sitting in my drawers right now, dude, doing a radio show. I can't recruit in my drawers. I got to be out there physically. And then, you know me.
It'd be a different type of recruiting.
I'll tell you what. I'll do it if I don't have to recruit. Because I ain't kissing no butt. don't come in. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I got time for that, Andy. Yeah. I got time for it.
You would be the best recruiter in the world,
dude,
for a very specific type of player.
Yep.
Like if a kid like you. Like you'd be really good at recruiting yourself.
Yes.
But you're like, you know, especially these days, like there maybe one in every 1,000 kids has the mentality that you have. You'd be the worst recruiter in the world,
dude,
when it came to most of the athletes right now.
Yeah, dude. I've been like, hey, man, y'all get the hell on somewhere. I don't care. Well, it's down to you in Florida. When to go to Florida then? I mean, you going to tell me that?
Damn, Randy lost another recruit.
I ain't going to beg no damn 18-year-old.
How'd he lose him this time? He told him, go somewhere else then.
Yeah. Sit there and beg for no damn 18-year-old kid. Get out of here, man.
That'd be great. Look, we don't want to lose you anyway, so I'm glad. I don't want you to go coach for Georgia. You'd probably be good at coaching when it came to the X's and O's stuff, but you're pretty damn good at radio too, so
here's
we
one.
Need you.
Here's one from Preston. What's your guy's favorite school ground? I guess school ground game, kickball, tetherball. I love me some damn tetherball, dude. But I was the dude at kickball because I know I could get that spin right, Andy. That, you know how we were talking about your backspin on your golf ball. I got that awesome backspin in my kickball.
You kick it with
game.
Your toe?
Of course.
Yeah, the little red ball goes way further when you kick it with your toe. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I hated those kids. They got on
soccer
my damn
kid.
Nerve. Oh, I hate
soccer, kids out there trying to hit it
soccer
with the side
kids,
of his foot.
Soccer kid and kickball can go kick rocks.
Foursquare, by the way. Foursquare, amazing game.
Yeah, Foursquare was cool.
I would love to play some Foursquare once again. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, takeaways of the day every single day to wrap the show up. We start with Wendy Adams. Wendy?
My takeaway of the day is I learned that Randy is a fan of guys who make pit moves like Jake Plummer and leave their fiancés at home.
I knew that was going to happen. I wonder how long that one's going to last for. It might be a while. It really is going to be around for a while.
My takeaway of the day is that Wendy is a great cart driver, and she is very, very upset with me about calling Jake Plummer a pimp.
My takeaway of the day is that sometimes Randy gets moved emotionally on the radio show and blames it on pork rind dust.
Oh, that's a good one.
that's the first one I got down here, Andy, too. If Randy is crying, it's probably because of hot pork skins. Randy met Miami OJ a few different times. If you want to hear the stories about that, check out the podcast, 929thegame.com. Hashtag save Randy's balls. It's a movement now.
It's a movement.
Yeah.
Tiger doesn't have a drunk nose, but he's got some drunk eyes. And just speaking of which, Andy gave a guy a fake phone number one time. No context there. Andy's trophy room, it continued to grow over the weekend with the discovery of his 2008 Golf Coach of the Year award. Randy is a self-proclaimed nerd. And
no, I'm not.
And, well, no, you said that. Two-phone Randy almost got shanked back in the day.
That's great. All right, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Have a safe afternoon. Talk to you then.
Watch out now!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.